if you're not there. There's a sense in which things happen and they don't exactly make sense. Some are really painful, some are really good, but they all tend to weave together to create the person that you are. It's an amazing reality. Hope you feel that blessing this morning. I love you guys, and I'm very proud of you. I'm glad to be here. If you're a visitor with us today, let me extend yet another just wonderful welcome. Thank you for being here. It is genuinely a treat, and we want you to know that if you have any questions or anything at all, just knock somebody next to you and say, hey, and they'll tell you what you need to know. But we are very honored that you would come visit with us today. We're talking about having a bold faith. A bold faith. It's funny, I'm thinking of a movie that I got to preview. I get these pastor previews every once in a while. I watched this one online, and it's about a masked saint, literally. It's a true story, which made it that much more interesting. But it was kind of an average movie, kind of on a B-level movie. But it was a preacher who was a wrestler, and he preached on faith every single week. And he said the same thing over and over again. You could just see the congregation sliding down as part of the funniness of the movie. But hopefully that will not be the case today. But we're talking about bold faith. Faith that is bold enough to step out into the world and speak and to do things that are countercultural. To live in such a way that the world is shocked by you a little bit. Bold faith. My experience is that it's much easier to kind of roll with the punches and be politically correct. And just kind of go along with the flow. And God has never called us to that. And so we're learning how to do that via baby steps. And how not to be distracted. If God's not going to go through you, He's just going to go around you. His will be done. And so He's given us an opportunity to join with Him. And to not get distracted, to actually answer the call. And the first baby step we learned was about being devoted to one another. We talked about in the bottom line, we're invested when our calendar and our checkbook, wherever that is what you're devoted to. That's not a, you should be, if, and then. No, that is how you measure it. Where am I devoted? Well, look at your calendar, look at your checkbook. That is where you're devoted. That is the bottom line. Jesus said it very well and very clearly. And so I want to challenge you to always think about that. Are we devoted to the church? Are we devoted to each other? Are we devoted to prayer and Bible study and the things that God has called us to? If not, start changing that. It doesn't mean it happens overnight, but begin to build things into your life. That's how baby steps work. Today we pick up in Acts chapter 2 at the very end of the section that we looked at last week. They devoted themselves to these things and they met in homes. And it was this dynamic picture. And then all of a sudden, in verse 47, we read this. This is from the CEV. While praising God, everyone liked them. And each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. Now just soak that in a minute. Everyone in the town liked the church. They did not agree with what they stood for a lot of the time because they stood against Caesar and many other things that got them killed. But everyone liked the church. How do we fare on that caliber, on that scale? The goal is clearly not to be liked, but how does the world respond to the church? With our Westboros and things out there. We talked about perception a year or so ago. Remember that? How do we fare? Does the world look at Church in the Falls and like us in spite of us? And say, I don't really believe all this stuff y'all teaching. But man, I really like you guys. Y'all are fantastic. Y'all are the kind of people I want to hang out with and be a part of. Andy Stanley has a slogan. Their church exists. Along these lines, we want to make churches that lost people love to come to. And it's irrelevant whether they believe what you believe. He said all the time, I'll get someone in there and they'll be having a good old time. And they'll tell me, yeah, I don't believe a word you're saying. But man, I just love being here. He said, I smile because that is the goal of our church. To bring people in and to give them an opportunity to have a first date with Jesus. And I'm happy if they don't like it at first. Because over time, Jesus will win their heart. And the point is, do we have a church that lost people love to come to? Are we the kind of people that the whole world likes? The word there for like is charis. Everybody say that with me. Charis. You got a little bit more. Charis. Right? That's better. Now put your hand in front of your face. You won't spit on everybody. Charis. Everybody look to you and say, charis. Right? This is not a dip in some Middle Eastern restaurant. This is grace. This is gift. This is thanksgiving. This is wonder. This is amazement. This word has so many connotations. And it is saying that they had the grace of the people. What I want you to focus on is how big of an image this is. So I got to thinking about it. You know, we have this, all these baptisms happen in Acts 2:38, right? And then all of a sudden, there's the grace of the people. So I wondered if maybe we should have like a block party and sneak in some baptism. And maybe that would give us a first century effect. And so this past weekend, we had a great block party and we snuck in some baptism. Let's check this out. Got some heathens dunked.
Oh, that was close, Emma.
Couldn't resist, Michael. It was just too good. Hey, I want you guys to think about, first of all, let me say thank you for what a fantastic job. Fall Festival was a huge hit. And it was very successful because you as a team, as a body of believers, came together and said to the world, hey, Church in the Falls is where it's at. And the people have responded. And it is a wonderful weekend. I'm just so proud of the work that you did. And just a little glimpse there of fun. But, you know, I get to thinking about, seriously, how do we do? I mean, that is a great start. Having a block party for the community, they're going to go, wow, that's kind of a cool church. And if they have a problem, they're liable to think, I wonder if I could get help at that place. Because they're the kind of people that do that kind of stuff. So I already know that the window is just a little bit cracked towards our community right now. And it's the start of something great. But really, how do we garner the charis of all the people? That is a pretty big statement. I want to share with you some other times that this word is used in the same context. Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be charis, thankful. And so worship God acceptably. So this grace is so good. God says, you're a king and you can never be dethroned. You're welcome. And we go, oh. And we feel such charis towards God that we want to worship Him. That's the language. What do we do in the community? Feel so overwhelmed, they can't help but want to know more and almost want to worship, that kind of momentum. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks to God, charis to God, for His indescribable gift. It's so indescribable that charis is the only response. And it's used like this about 11 or 12 times in the New Testament. Strong language to say there's just something overwhelming in response. In Luke 2:40 and 52, Jesus grows in wisdom and stature and in favor, that's the word, charis, with God and with man. God looks at His boy and says, this is my boy who I am well pleased. He has the grace of God, the charis, the favor of God. God is liking that boy big time. That is the nature. So we want the world to see the church and have that kind of an emotional reaction to what we do here. That's the description. Well, that's a big question. How do we do that? How do we possibly pull that kind of connection? Well, I think Acts 3, 1 through 7 starts the journey. Because the very next verse after 47 chapter 2, I think is one of the ways that they did that. Let's check this out. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm reading from the CEV as well here. The time of prayer was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Time of prayer, right? This is one of the prayers of the church. We're still praying, right? Got you 3 times a day, right? Everybody say yes. Lie to me if you need to, right? If not, get a cheat sheet on the way out. This is important. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. A man who had been born lame was being carried to the temple door. Each day he was placed beside this door, known as the Beautiful Gate. He sat there and he begged from the people who were going in. The man saw Peter and John entering the temple and he asked them for money. Now, have we all been there? Right? You're driving by in the car and there's somebody sitting there and they're like, we'll work for food. They got a bucket out. They got their hand out. Go to an airport in a foreign country and you get 30 little kids that come at you. And they're all like this, right? Pretty intense. Look what they do. They look straight at him. And they said, look at us. The man looked up and stared at them and thought he was going to get something. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold. Now just pause for a minute. Someone is standing there and they say, I'm hungry. I need some money. Would you give me some money? And Peter says, hey, look at me. I don't have any money. Feels kind of rude, doesn't it? But notice what he says. I don't have any money, but what I give you, but I will give you what I do have. Now he does something amazing here. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up, start walking. Peter then took him by his right hand, helped him up, and the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now, I think we miss this story because we're so focused on the miracle. Well, if I could do miracles, I'd do that too, is what we think. What about the dignity of looking the man in the eye and saying, look at me. I don't have money, but what I do have, I'll give you. Is that not powerful? How about I help the man up to his feet? How about I take him where he needs to go? He was just helped to the place he was then. I don't have money, but what I do have, I give you. Church, I think the reason that the church was so popular in the first century is because they all had that attitude. I don't have enough for everything, but what we have, we will give. And they sold their properties and they brought it to the apostles' feet and they gave to all that had need. Whatever they could do, they did it. And not everybody got everything, but they just did the best they could with what they had. And it was a selfless kind of an attitude. That's very attractive. It's very attractive to everybody, much less the world that never sees that. There's no worldly person who does that because it doesn't make sense. I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give you. I want to leave you with this thought. This is the message of today. I'm jumping ahead a little bit and we'll come back to it again. Do what you can when you can. And I would add with what you have. Do what you can when you can. I want you to soak this in because it is a simple concept. You're not always going to have a new car for the person who doesn't have a car. But maybe you have a car and you can give them a ride. Do what you can when you can with what you have. That is powerful because it shows an attitude of selflessness. It looks for ways to help and to bless others. Galatians 6:10 says it this way. We should help people whenever we can, especially those who follow the Lord. They'll know you're Christians by the way you love one another and also by the way you love them. It starts here and it bleeds out into the world. Love others. Do good to everybody. The NIRV says, so when we can, do good to everyone. Whenever you can, do what you can when you can. We think, okay, well, what about though? We've got this hard message. I mean, when a man and a man join together, that is called homosexuality. And the Bible says that is a sin. And the homosexual shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. How do I deal with that? Because I can't just bury that message when I'm trying to be nice to the world. And how do I do that? Is that possible? How can the world like us when we have such a strong message against them at some time? You've heard the phrase, for every negative comment, you need how many compliments? 10. So when we say this is what God says about homosexuality, we need 10 opportunities to say to them, God loves you and he will take you right now in your brokenness. And I love you and I'm going to serve you and I'm going to help you. We need tenfold to balance out the tough message. And it's not because it's a bad message. It's just a tough message. And there's several ones like that are really countercultural. Killing babies is still murder. That's a countercultural idea that is radical in our world. And it's okay to be that way as long as we overwhelm it with at least tenfold positive block parties like we did last week. so people know that we care about them and that we love them. And we don't have any agenda other than to bless their life. Now, we know the ultimate blessing is Jesus, and we want them to get there. But our agenda is to bless them. And they'll feel that by the way we love them, by the way we serve them. I want to share a short video clip of a story that's happening right now in Portland. Portland is one of the, I say, anti-Christian type environments in our country right now. It's very, very, I use the word liberal-minded. I don't mean politically, but that's too. It's more than that. It's more of an anti-God kind of perspective. And it's really harsh. And this particular mayor is an open homosexual mayor. And he is going up against all the people in the churches in Portland. And look at what they worked out. Let's watch this.
I had to overcome, as an openly gay mayor, openly gay person, I had to overcome what Kevin talked about is a reputation of the evangelical community that was really, the reputation in Portland, I would say, by a lot of folks was not a positive one.
So in comes South Lake Church, a church of a couple thousand, and begins with a makeover. But much more significantly was, 6 years later, not only are they still there, the trust has been built to the point where the principal said to the outreach pastor, Christine, you're here every day with folks from your church. Why don't you just office here? So now there are two staff of the church that office at Roosevelt, run the clothing closet, food pantry, Head Start program. Former NFL quarterback Neil Lomax is the offensive coordinator for the football team. Nike got involved. They rebuilt the stands, the football field. It's been amazing. And that led Carol Smith, who's the Portland Public School Superintendent, who's also a prominent member of the gay community in Portland, to say, we must have a church partner for every school in Portland Public Schools.
So but the way that it came to the mayor's office and the humility and the willingness to work, and that's been a deepening of this, and it has been a huge morale booster to the tens of thousands of people that work in government in Portland. And I've heard very positive feedback from parishioners that they have found it to be a deepening of their experience of church in a very positive way. Wow. It's been fantastic. Not a single complaint in all these years on any of these projects about proselytizing, which was the number one worry of everyone I talked to on the government side of this partnership. Not one complaint. You know, there are things we don't agree on. We won't agree on as a liberal Democrat and as an evangelical leader.
I might be a liberal Democrat. You don't know that.
No, I looked up your party registration. Mayors do their homework. You know, but actually we probably agree on 8 out of 10 things that are really important to society. And so can we agree to disagree in the venues where that happens, but still act on together, genuinely act in our communities to make them better on those 8 of 10.
Did you catch that? 8 out of 10. There's 8 compliments for 2 negatives is how he's doing the math. They decided to do what was necessary, what they could. Let's bless the community. People need schools. School's got a problem. Let's fix the school. We need money. Let's call Nike. Somebody from the Christian church worked for Nike, worked out a deal. They renovated it, and on the story goes. The interview goes on for 30 or 40 minutes, just different elements that were going on. Tremendous stories happening right now in Portland. They are stepping out and engaging culture without the agenda to shove something down someone's throat, but rather to love them tenfold so that when those tough issues come up, they'll be gracious. I know you got to believe what you got to believe. We're just so glad you're here. It amazes me when that kind of a group who knows the message of the church is against them will say every school needs a church to connect with it. What kind of power is that except from God? And don't you know there have been many people who have come to know the Lord simply out of gracious charis, the grace of the people. They want to know more about what makes someone tick like this. They did what they could. See, it's not that the church needs a mission. We have the mission to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not that the church needs a mission. It's that the mission needs a church. Are we going to be that church? Are we going to follow that call? The mission's been out there for 2,000 years. Are we going to be that church? Are we going to be the one that's willing to bend ourselves for the sake of the community? To love them and to bless them in spite of feedback we might get. To love and to love again. To be turned on and fussed at and talked about. And you know the minute we step up, something's going to come up to our mayor's office. And it's going to be negative. We're going to have to deal with that. And we're going to be like, oh, forget that. We don't want to mess with them people anymore. We don't get that choice. God has called us. And His mission needs a church. Are we going to be that church? Are we going to be salt and light to enhance the world around us? Proof's in the pudding. That's how it wins. That's why it's so potent. Because it's true and it's measurable. And the world can sniff out a lie as much as we can. And they'll know if we're genuinely loving them and serving them and blessing them. There's a story about an alcoholic who had recovered. And he was sitting around chit-chatting with some fellow Christians. And they were talking about, you know, the different miracles. And he said, well, I don't know if Jesus actually turned water to wine. He said, but I know He actually turned wine to furniture in my house. See, proof is in the pudding. He saw real results. And you can't argue with that. There's no magistrate. There's no law against these things. The fruit of the Spirit, remember? Galatians 5, there's no law against these things. The world even acknowledges that they're good. And when we do them overwhelmingly, it will move people. It will change people. Because life change is measurable and real. And they want to know our story. And then they'll meet Jesus. And He'll change them. Believe me. Way beyond what we can do. I want to share a few quick points. I want to move through these quickly. So just kind of grab your outline and follow along. Three quick points. Use what you have access to. Do what you can do. We all have access to something. We have a certain amount of funds and time and energy and resources and cars and houses. Use it. It is all the Lord's, period. There is no my stuff, His stuff. It's all the Lord's. And we are His steward, period. It's not even a tithe. It's all of it. A tithe is what we give the church to maintain its function. The rest of our stuff is really God's for all the rest that we need. Some of it is to take care of our family, our neighbors, our families, and our friends. That's what God has given it to us for. Remember the lady? The wicked lady, prostitute most likely, who walked in and took a whole thing of perfume and anointed Jesus' feet. Now, what do you think perfume would be used for by a prostitute? That would be really important, right? So not only does she pour out her life, literally, and her livelihood, but she says, I don't have much. That's why I'm on the streets in the first place. But what I do have, I give. And she poured it out right on Jesus' feet. And they were fussing about it. And He says, what this lady has done will never be forgotten. Wherever the gospel is told, she will be told as well. Because this is so precious. She's anointed me for my burial, Jesus says. He loves her. He takes care of her. The second thing is, don't wait for perfection. See, a lot of times we think, well, I'll come back and I'll do that. Because it's just not quite right. Perfection is an enemy. I don't know why we get so wrapped up. And I'm the world's worst at it. I don't want to do something unless I can do it right. And there's some value in that a little bit. But when it comes to helping people, it is not helpful. I want to coin a word today. I'm going to call it procrastination. Procrastination for the sake of perfection. Procrastination. Now you can write this one down. Take it to the bank. Procrastination messes up the mojo of God. Think about that for a minute. God has a certain way He likes to operate. And when we go, well, I don't know because I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite right. It's not quite perfect. I'm not sure about it. I'm not ready. I'm not trained enough. I haven't learned enough. I don't know. And we just kind of back off. It's as if we're so conceited to think we need to own it and have credit for it. And God is saying, that's not what it's about. It's in your weakness that I want to be in the first place. So get rid of the perfection. If you see a need, do what you can with what you have, period. Right then, right there. Don't wait. Procrastination does not help. It messes up God's ability to show His grace and His charis and His power through us, through you and you and you. All of us broken people here don't got much to offer. But what we have, we give. And God will use it. And it'll change the world. And that's what's amazing about it. And third, be faithful to the little. Remember the mustard seed? Faith as small as a mustard seed can do what? Can move mountains. It's not because the faith is all that great. It's because of the faith in God is great. And God is powerful enough to move mountains. And if He sees your faith, He will move it for you. Because God is interested in faith, even as small as a mustard seed. What can we do? Here's some things that we all have. And I want to share with you a really neat tool today. and a few simple things that hopefully you'll already have in your mind. Number one is kindness. This is what every single person in here can do. There is no excuse for being grumpy Gus. None. And I feel like sometimes when I'm grumpy Gus and I get called down, why are you being so grumpy? Because I want to be grumpy, right? But let's be honest. We have the joy of the Lord potential for us. And it doesn't mean we have bad days, but it means we can rise above those bad days. It doesn't mean everything is pretend happy. It means we're joyful about even the troubles. Life is hard right now. But you know what? God is with me and tomorrow's a better day. Now that is the joy of the Lord. We need to be those kind of people. We need to be so kind. Not the one who's always critical, walking around, finding everything wrong. Nobody needs that. The world is full of people like that. If the world is going to be blessed by us, we need to be kind. We need to be gracious. We need to be silly at times. We need to just be kind and love people. Give them a handshake. Give them a smile. Bless people around you. If you don't have something to be thankful for, look harder. It's there. Second is time. This is the most expensive free resource we have. We all have the exact same amount, and it is absolutely life-changing. Give your time. Parents, your kids want your time. They don't want anything else. Give it. Time is powerful. Showing up and doing something because you're present is so valuable. And everyone has no excuse. We all have the same 24 hours. We all have time to give. And God wants you to use the time for Him. That's your calendar. Third is dignity. Starbucks makes billions not because of their coffee, but because of the dignity they give people. When I walk in, they say, "Hey, David, will it be the usual?" Yes, I guess it will be, right? I must be a celebrity. Starbucks knows who I am. They send me a cool gold card with my name on it. Dignity. What would it be like if you saw someone sitting on the side of the road and they got the We'll Work for Food and you pulled down around the corner, walked down and sat next to them? So what's your name? John. Hi, John. Tell me your story. Why are you out here? What's going on? I'm just hungry. I can get you some food. How'd you get here? You said that you lost your job. You said you're a veteran. You said you're whatever. How'd you get here? Look him in the eye. Talk to him as a real person as opposed to driving by going like this, right? Check your phone real quick. I'm not saying give the person money. Money you may not have. But what you do have, give them. And that is the dignity that they are another child of God. They are flesh and blood. They are a person. They have a name. They have a family. They have a story and a life. And it's amazing how you can transform someone by simply doing that. Peter says, "Hey, you, look at me." And then he helps him up. And then he tells him, "I'm not going to give you any money. But I'm going to give you dignity. I'm going to give you a chance to make your own money. I'm going to give your feet back." Amazing story. But don't miss the simpleness that is right in the middle of it. I want to share with you a treat today. Go ahead and hit the function W for me. And then you can hit view so we can see this. There is a resource that we have. I want to share a little bit more about it for just a second. Right Now Media is kind of Netflix for Bible. And what I want you to see is this. When you go, let me set up this way. I had someone talk to me recently and say, you know, they're struggling with their marriage, they're having issues. And so they went to Google and looked up marital stuff. Marriage counseling, successful marriages. Now let's be honest. When you go to Google and look up marriage, you're going to get 400,000 hits. And 95% of them are garbage. Can we have an amen? And the 5,000 that are good are still like white noise. Who are they? How good are they? This part's good, that part's good. Is it biblically good or just worldly good? Is it tiptoeing towards God but not really there? What is it? Wouldn't it be nice if we could Google search something that was important to us and know that what we found was biblically oriented, God-centered, and from people who have been successful at doing what they're doing? Just think about that for a minute. What do we struggle with? What do your neighbors struggle with? Throw it out there. What do you know? Say it aloud. But just specifically, what issue?
He's a boy. He's my neighbor. He's my friend.
Well, what is he struggling with? Do you understand my question?
Oh, yeah. What he's struggling with, he sometimes
struggles
with bossing people around sometimes.
Okay, so we got bad attitude, right? Good. Bad attitude. So I bet if we do a search for attitude, we'd find something. But I'm telling you, probably the biggest ones are probably marriage and family, right? Kids. Who's here easy parent? Oh, yeah, just parent like no big deal. Nobody's raising a hand because you know you'd be lying if you did, right? Let's type in marriage up there. Hit enter. Look at this. I want you to see in this resource, 93 Bible studies on marriage. Look at this. Chip Ingram, on and on and on. Really great stuff. Type in finance. There's a big one. We have issues with how to balance our budget and how do we deal with this? And is there godly wisdom about the best way to approach our finances? How do we do that? Type in finance and this is what pops up. In a minute. Uh-oh. Yeah, it does help to spell correctly. What is it? F-I-N-A-N-C-E, I believe. Try it again. There you go. Look at this. Crown Financial. On and on it goes. Dave Ramsey's down if you go a little farther. There's leadership resources. Just literally 10,000 resources available to you. Now, how cool would it be if you could pay a small Netflix subscription fee and pass it to your neighbor and say, you know what, neighbor? I know you're struggling with marriage. You were telling me about you and your wife having issues. I'd like to give you something. You just give me your email address and you just pay for them to have a subscription to this. Would that not be amazing? Wouldn't that not be cheap and easy to do? I got one better than that. I called the company and they want this to be an evangelistic tool. Which means that everybody you would like to give this resource to, you can. And as a tool, say, I've got something I want for you, but you had better been on there yourself to find the good resources. If there's 200 marriage seminars, you need to go look through and find two or three that are really good. And say, I've got a resource for you. I just need your email address. You'll log into an account paid by the church. What a blessing. Thanks be to God. Say it in a way that honors what we do here. And give them that gift. Use that gift for your family. There's only 50 of you signed up right now. We're paying for 200, so you might as well take advantage of it. And the guy on the phone says we could... 600, 800, unlimited. So we're going to push it out to all of our neighbors who came to the Fall Festival and say, thank you for coming to Fall Festival. We'd like to offer you a gift. Can you see the potential of this? This is huge. For example, if you miss the Bible study, multiply. Type in multiply. Multiply is on there. You just log in on your smartphone right in the middle of lunch while you're eating your Wheaties, right? And you're watching it. How many of you have watched Netflix while you eat lunch? Really? It's just the three of us? I don't believe it. Amazon Prime. Anything. Wow, we got a non-tech folk here. But I tell you, a lot of folks are using it. And they'll sit and they'll have their headphones in and they'll be watching, eating the food, watching the rest of a 45-minute show because there's no commercials on Netflix. Hallelujah, right? And so they're watching this. How much cooler would it be to watch a marriage seminar? 22 minutes, a Bible study that is rich and motivational. The best there is out there. They're making big money. That's why they're selling it. And that's why it's on here. The good stuff. Completely free. Available to you. I'm going to send out an email to get that started again. We'll see what kind of response we get. And dictate whether we need to keep this service or not. But it is huge potential. And I want you to use it as a tool for your neighbors. Dignity, kindness, time. And in a very tangible way, something like Right Now Media. Offer your friends and family this gift. Bless them. Here's how the story ends. Acts 3, 8 through 11 says basically, he gave dignity to this person. And they jump up, they start praising God, and all the people come around. And the gospel is preached. The result of you honoring and loving and serving people is that the gospel is seen and preached and people are introduced to Jesus. One person at a time. That's what it's all about. So say it with me. Do what you can when you can. Say it again. Do what you can when you can. And we have lots of resources. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we praise you today, Lord. We honor you. We thank you and we ask that you would bring the charis of our community on us. That they would look at us and value us and be excited because they have seen the proof in the pudding. They know that we love them. They know that we care for them. And even if we disagree, all the more, we love them and serve them with no agenda except to bless. Father, may that be a powerful message. Use us to give dignity, to give our time. Father, help us to bless the world around us, our work site, at school. Help us to find issues and bless them with something as simple as a gift or a subscription, Lord, to Right Now Media. What a blessing that could be. Father, help us to use what you've given us access to, that we may honor you, we may bless those who are around us. We praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In just a minute, after we sing this song, we're going to ask our missionary, Winston, to come up, and we're going to pray over him. But I want to give you just a moment. If there's a response you need to make today, if God is pricking your heart to do something, pray about it. Right where you stand, you may come forward, and we can pray for you. You can meet with a shepherd in the back. Whatever God is calling you to do, I ask you to move on it today. Don't procrastinate for the sake of perfection and mess up the mojo of God. Let's stand together and sing.
My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you, my peace. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you, my joy. My only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only joy is you. I need, all that I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you. From early in the morning till late at night, all that I need is you. From early in the morning till late at night, all that I need is you.
If you guys are shepherds, anybody else who would like to gather around, this is one of our missionaries in Indonesia. And we want to pray over him today, and then he's going to be right here after this for class. Are we in here or in the other room? Somebody help me with that. Other room? Okay, we'll be in another room for his class, but he's got the class time today, and we want to ask you to come join that. Hear what's going on in Indonesia with our good brother here. If you guys would just reach your hands out, if you're not able to walk up here, and just let's bless Winston today. Let's pray for him. Father, we lift up Winston Bolt today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for your power to descend upon him. We ask that your spirit would fill him to overflowing, that you would give him courage and boldness and braveness. Lord, we pray that he would know where to go and when to go and how to go, that you would open up his eyes to see Indonesia the way you see it, to know where to bless it, to know how to go about it. Lord, give him a strategic plan that just allows him success at every turn. Father, we pray for funds, that you would raise what he needs. We pray for leadership as he disciples men and women, Lord, that they would rise up and disciple others, and it would grow the church in an exponential way, Lord. We know that if you are in it, it cannot be stopped. The gates of Hades will not be able to stand against it. So, Father, we ask that you would be full of his teaching. Everything that he says, may it be inspired by your hand. May you guide him and lead him. May it be less and less about him and more about you, so that the world will know in Indonesia that there is a God and that he loves them very much. Father, empower Winston. Give him all that he needs and support him as he travels, Lord. I pray for safety. And Father, we pray that any challenge that may come his way, that you would give him the strength to overcome it. Build his spiritual muscles every day, that he may be a beacon of light, a salt for a dying world. Bless him always, Lord. And we ask that you would bless him in this next hour as he presents to us some of what is going on over there. Lord, we ask that the questions will be clear. and that he would have good answers, and it would be encouraging to us and to him as well. Bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. That is our blessing. We're dismissed. Go to class.